The second, praying with the wrong motives. Praying with the wrong motives. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And so there's a lot of people that's praying for things that are selfish. They are praying for and asking God for something for selfish reasons.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series titled, In the Desert with the Father. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Desert of Unanswered Prayers.
In our series, and we have Advent coming up pretty soon, so this might be one of the last messages, if not the last one, in our series, In the Desert with the Father. In the Desert with the Father. And today, we're going to talk about something maybe you have experienced, and that is unanswered prayers. Unanswered prayers. You know, sometimes you can be in the desert when your prayers seem like they're falling on deaf ears. You can feel like, you're all out there all by yourself, and many people ask, and I'm going to share with you some examples in the sermon this morning of people who have really wondered where God was at. You know, when they were praying and asking God for something specific, and only to not see God move or answer their prayer. So this morning we want to look at, that desert experience. I don't know about you, but I know there's been times in my life when, my prayers have gone unanswered. And I just felt like, again, that I was out there in the wilderness wondering, what was going on. And sometimes we hate to put it in these terms, but again, wondering where God is at. I'm going to visit the passage that I looked at last week. So we're going to be back there again. We talked about frustration last week. And so this week, we want to visit that same passage, and we want to talk about unanswered prayers. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Father, we come to you today, and we pray, Lord, as Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever walked across the face of this earth, experienced unanswered prayer. Lord, so when we find ourselves in that category, help us to understand that we are in good company, because here is a guy that pleaded and begged God to answer his prayer, and his prayers went unanswered. So, Lord, as we look at this subject today, we invite the congregation to come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that you would look at your notes, and we want to look at the background to the passage before we get into the sermon this morning. So this was pretty much what I put in there last week, but I did add one sentence to it. Paul was caught up either in a vision or bodily into the third heaven, which was the very presence of God. There God showed him things that he could not come back and share with human beings. That Paul said, the things that God showed me that I was not able to utter unto human beings. to keep this experience from becoming something that would cause the apostle to become arrogant. You know, Paul said that there was a possibility, you know, for me to get arrogant as a result of me being caught up into heaven, that I could begin to think that I'm somebody special. So the scripture says he was given a thorn in the flesh to humble him. Paul prayed on three occasions for God to remove the thorn in the flesh, but his prayers went unanswered. Three times, as I was sharing last week, he prays for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. And this was not, like I said last week, some now I lay me down to sleep prayers. But this was on three occasions with intensity, three occasions with crying and pleading before the Lord, that he cried out for God to come and take this thorn in the flesh away. And every time he looked around, that thorn was still there. And so Paul finally came to the conclusion, after God told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee," he came to the conclusion that this is one prayer that's going to go unanswered. And as far as we know, as we read through the rest of the New Testament in Paul's letters, we don't see where Paul's thorn was ever taken away. So this was a request, again, that went unanswered. I remember reading something by Bill Hybels, and he was saying that when we pray, that God gives us four answers to our prayers. No, slow, grow, or let's go. So I thought that was interesting. No, either, you know, when you pray, God says no, or God says, well, slow. Oh, wonder what's going on back here. slow, you know, like not right now, but, you know, in time it will be answered. Or maybe you need to grow, or let's go. So I heard somebody else put it this way when we talk about unanswered prayers. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he said, "Are you kidding?" I like that one right there. Or are you kidding? Now, as we think about, you know, prayer, you know, there are some obvious reasons why our prayers will go answered. And so there may be more than this, but this is what I thought about. You know, what is some, when we pray, what are some very obvious reasons that our prayers will go unanswered? Well, first of all, we're praying for something that's impossible. So, you know, if a person is passed away, and when they passed away that they were not saved, and then we pray and ask the Lord, you know, to save them, well, that's impossible. If they left this life, you know, knowingly rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you know, all the prayer in the world is not going to get that person saved. All right. So, you know, again, if we pray for something that's impossible, you know, we're not going to see an answer to it. Secondly, if we are praying, and you know, this is kind of what I'm dealing with in some situations, if we're praying for a person that has a hard heart, like Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh had a hard heart. And when you look at what God does, and the beautiful thing I like about what God does in prayer, that when we pray for somebody, that God, I believe that God pours all the resources into their lives to try to get them to do the right thing, to get them to do his will. And so the more we pray, I truly believe that God is working. That, you know, I've shared before about one of my friends who was not saved, and he was getting high in New York, and he was on the subway. His wife was in Virginia. She was faithful in praying for this brother, faithful in praying. His heart was hard, and she was praying and praying, and one night he passed out on the subway. When he woke up, somebody handed him a tract. And he took the tract, he read it, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And now the brother is, last that I talked to him, you know, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he had a hard heart. And God worked in his life. God moved in his life. So, you know, I'm saying that sometimes when we're praying, you know, we have to understand that we're dealing with the hardness of a person's heart. But thank God that he can break down that hardness. And so even some of the things that I'm praying for of hard-hearted people, I believe and I'm trusting God to break down that heart and soften it so that they would receive his message. But sometimes we come to realize that, you know, we run into a person like Pharaoh, that God can do all that he's going to do. And if that person has that hard heart, you know, that might be a time that our prayer would go unanswered. And then here's one right here. You know, I always think about this when I think about unanswered prayer. And you got two teams that's playing a game. And you got Christians on both teams. And on both sides, somebody's praying that we win this game. You know, it's interesting being in Steeler country. I hear people praying for the Steelers to win. Now, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm a fan, you know, and I hope that they win. I hope they go to Super Bowl, and I hope they win the Super Bowl. But you got to realize, just like you're praying for the Steelers to win, there's some Christian that's as strong as you are in the faith, that's just as strong as you are in their walk, and they might be praying for the other team. So whose prayers are God going to hear? You know, so somebody's prayer is going unanswered. We don't know who it is, but one prayer, you will say, well, God will let the game end in a tie. Well, you know, first of all, I'll say there are very few ties in the NFL, right? Then secondly, if it's a tie, then they usually go another quarter because they want somebody to win. So the fact of the matter is, somebody's prayer is going to be unanswered. You know, I heard about a lady, a pastor shared this story about a lady in his congregation who was going through fertility treatments, and she finally conceived a child. Her husband and her were filled with joy, but the doctors informed them if she continued with the pregnancy that she was taking a risk of losing her life. And you know, she wanted this child more than anything else. And so the child went to full term. Thank the Lord that the lady continued to have her life, but once the child was born, the child was unable to survive outside the womb. And the pastor said, this was the lady's response. She said this, I had never wrestled with the will of God. Now my life and faith depended on it. I had always thought God could and would do anything if enough people prayed. But people had prayed and God didn't do anything. Who is God and what good is God? So here is a lady who didn't see her prayer answered, and it actually affected her faith. So, you know, we have to be careful as we deal with this whole thing of unanswered prayer that it doesn't affect our faith. I heard about a young man who fell in love with a young lady, and she didn't even know who he was. She never noticed him. And the guy wrote a song, and he said this, every night on my knees I pray. Dear Lord, hear my plea. Don't ever let another take her love from me, or I would surely die. Her love is heavenly. When her arms enfold me, I hear her tender rhapsody. But in reality, she doesn't even notice me. It was just my imagination running away with me. This guy, he prayed, right? He said, every night on my knees, I pray. Dear Lord, hear my plea. Don't ever let another take her love from me. This brother was serious about this prayer. But as far as we know, his prayer went unanswered. Watchman Nee said something that I'll never forget. And so I put this little diagram together to try to illustrate it. Watchman Nee said, no prayer that started in heaven is ever rejected when it gets back there. No prayer that is started in heaven. For you know, so if we are understand the heart of God, if we understand the will of God, that when we pray and give that prayer back to God, he will not reject it. And so I put this little diagram together. Heaven is where God is at. And you see on the very, let's see, to your left, all right? We pray, and so sometimes our praying is messed up, right? So I'm not saying this is a cover-all for every situation, because there's some situations that fall into a different category, but I'm saying for most of the prayers that we pray. We pray to know the will of God. So I want to know the will of God about a situation in my house, I mean, in my life. So I got ahead of myself, you know, whether I should buy a house, that's what I, you know, so I kind of put things together. All right. You know, whether I should buy a house, you know, who my mate should be, you know, I want to pray to know the will of God. And so, you know, I don't come with some preconceived prayer that I concocted on my own, but I should come with a heart that's open and a heart that's yielded to God. And I pray to God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, my will, no, he didn't say that. Thy will be done. And so when I pray, I pray to know the will of God. Now, if as I pray to know the will of God, if I ask God for a fish, will he give me a serpent? If I ask him for a piece of bread, will he give me a stone? If God gives, you know, if earthly fathers give good gifts to those that ask them, how much more should our Heavenly Father, if we're asking him, if you're coming to God and you're saying to him, Lord, I want to know your will. I just can't see God messing us around. If we have a heart that's sincere, I believe that what God will do, God will reveal his will to us. He will make it known. There's absolutely no question. As you read the pages of Scripture, God is in the business of revealing his will to his people. And so you pray, and God reveals his will, and then we pray what? The will of God. Lord, I know that this is your will. And so we pray it back to God. And then when it goes to heaven, and I believe that this is what Watchman Nee was saying. He was saying that when it goes back to heaven, that because it started in heaven, it will not be rejected when it gets back there. And that God will answer that prayer. But I realize that there are unanswered prayers. And so as we look at the scripture, so I'm saying, I believe 99.9% of the time, this is the model. Like I said, there are some situations outside of this model. I understand that. But 99.9% of the time, this is the model that I believe that if we want to pray correctly, that this is the model that we should follow. All right? So I know this teaching is revolutionary to some, you know, because, you know, we get things in our mind and we get things in our heart and we just want to pray for them. But we don't, you know, we haven't prayed the will of God. All right. So with that said, you know, I want to share with you when prayers go unanswered, what might be happening? What dynamic might be taking place? All right. So let's look at number one. I forgot I had this slide in there. All right. So when God says no, no may not mean rejection, but redirection. No may not mean punishment, but preparation. And no may not mean never, but not now. So I think that when we get a no answer, you know, that, you know, we need to begin to search and look at, you know, what God is doing. So if our prayer is rejected, you know, it might mean that God is just trying to redirect us. If our prayer, if we get a no, it don't mean that God is punishing us. It means that he might be preparing us for something else. And then it might not mean never, but not now. Okay. So, the first reason that I'm going to say, and I've already kind of introduced this point, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, is that it is not in the will of God. It is not in the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, that He hears us. So the first guarantee that we have when we pray in the will of God, the first guarantee that we have is that God hears us. All right? Because, there's other verses in the Bible that say God don't hear people, right? And it says that He doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner. And I'm going to show you a couple other scriptures that talk about God. Now, God is omnipresent, so He hears everything. But, He doesn't necessarily hear your prayer with the inclination to do something about it. But it says here that He hears us, and we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Why is that? That is because we are praying in the will of God. When you pray in the will of God, as Watchman Nee says, any prayer that starts in heaven is not rejected when it comes back to heaven. I told you about a guy that I met years ago, and he was in a church, and as a matter of fact, he was a minister. And so, as Cynthia said this morning about people not believing, the Word of God or standing for the Word of God, that, I ran at ministers, pastors. Well, I ran into a minister. He told me this. He said the Lord showed him in the church this lady that was going to be his wife. And I said, oh, okay. All right. Then as we continued to talk, come to find out that the guy was married. So I'm saying right there, he was praying for this other lady, that he said was going to be his wife. And I'm thinking, well, God, you already got a wife. So you're not praying in the will of God. You need to pray that your heart will get right. And you and your wife will try to work things out and make this work. So again, if we're praying something that's not in the will of God, God will not hear our prayers. Secondly, if we're praying another reason for unanswered prayers is that we're praying with the wrong motive. Go back real quick. So the resolution, begin to seek the Lord and ask Him if what you are praying for is His will for your life. Okay? That's the resolution. So we got a resolution for each one of these as we go through. The second, praying with the wrong motives. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And so there's a lot of people that's praying for things that are selfish. They are praying for and asking God for something for selfish reasons. Now, just say that you want to go to college and you don't have the money to go. I think that if you pray and say, Lord, if it's your will for me to go, then I ask that you would provide the resources. That's a good prayer. That's a very good prayer. All right? But, some people, they're praying for extravagant things. Now, I'm not saying that God won't give you extravagant things. I'm not saying that He won't. I'm saying, when you are praying, and the key here is that you're praying. Now, notice what it says, that you might consume.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Desert of Unanswered Prayers from our series, In the Desert with the Father. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, The Desert of Unanswered Prayers, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Unanswered Prayers. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Desert of Unanswered Prayers. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.